Turn your Bibles, will, to John chapter 16. You pray, Lord, to help us and bless us together here. Hear the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 7 of John 16. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, speaking to his church, it is expedient for you that I go away. It's necessary. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. The world, natural man, doesn't think that there's any issue in regards to sin. But the very coming of the Lord Jesus Christ indicates that there is. Sin needs to be dealt with, and it's only going to be dealt with two ways. In Christ, by him, in your stead, for you. Or you in hell and the lake of fire forever, paying eternally, suffering the vengeance of God for your disobedience, your transgression against him. Every one of us is going to face and have that one of two ways. Every single one of us. There's not a person in the house that's exempt. Amen. From the youngest to the oldest. You either have Christ, or in the shape that you're in right now, you're going to hell. Right. And if you go to hell, you're going to be brought up and then for judgment and to go to the lake of fire. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The Lord Jesus Christ did come and fulfill all righteousness, didn't he? And the mission that the Father gave him to do. Every bit of it. He did it. And the testimony, the witness, the proving that he has fulfilled it all, is that very fact that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's done. He did it. He did it from the standpoint of our redemption and our atonement. It is complete. And then it goes on here in verse number 11 of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And so we're taking a look at this here in verse number 11 of judgment. Last time we took a look here in John chapter 5 and how the Lord Jesus Christ said that the Father had given judgment to him, to the Son of Man, to the Savior. That as the Father has life in himself, so the Son has life in himself, and he can make alive whoever he wants to. He can do so physically, but really more important than that, he can do so spiritually. And the testimony of the Lord there in John chapter 5, as you recall, is that his Word, the going forth of his Word, is that which he uses to quicken sinners. He says, the time is coming and now is, that whosoever heareth my Word and believeth in my Word has life now. I'm not talking about physical life. He's talking about the salvation of the soul. But then he talked about there in John chapter 5, after he said that, he mentioned earlier in the portion of Scripture that we looked at there, that the Father had given him judgment. What's the purpose of that? So that all would honor the Son like they honor the Father. That was a problem there in the day of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he was not honored by the leadership of the Jews, was he? Not at all. They didn't believe him to be a prophet, much less the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Deliverer of the nation, the Deliverer of men's souls. They didn't believe that he would be that, nor would they even consider that he would be the judge. But judgment had been given to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ says, so that he might be honored just like the Father is honored. Why? Because he's God. Yet again, another point that the Lord's making to make clear unto us and to them in that day, that he is God. Equal honor for the Son as with the Father. But he goes on to say in the latter part of that portion there in John chapter 5, he says, there's coming a time that everybody's going to hear my voice. Everybody in the grave is going to come forward. Those that have done good to the resurrection of righteousness. As it says in the Scripture, the resurrection of light. Amen. Not that they've, not a work salvation, but that they have repented, they have believed, they have trusted in Christ. The Lord saved their souls. That good, blessed thing has been wrought in them. They've been saved. And as the brother read this morning, just a little bit ago, we're going there. When the Lord says, come on, we're going. There won't be any hanging on and staying. We're going. Who would want to hang on? Amen? But for those that are without Christ, there's coming that day when the Lord's going to say, come forth. And it doesn't matter where the body is, it's coming back. And the spirit, the soul is going to be put back in that body, and each and every one that has rejected Christ as Savior, each and every one that preferred their sin over light, each and every one that has rejected and refused and denied the Word of God will stand there that day. And so here we want to take a look at what the Scripture says about more detail of that. We see in general the Lord describing that it will be, that there will be two resurrections, that there will be acknowledgement and that directive from the Scripture that there will be two resurrections. It stands to reason, and we know the Scripture bears it out, there's going to be two judgments to go along with them. And so we want to take a look at this judgment that is being talked about there, and mainly what the Lord is alluding to in John chapter 5, and what He's saying here and alluding to in John chapter 16, because see, what the Comforter is going to do through the church, through the people in His churches, is going to be that which is needed by sinners, that which is needed to be known by sinners unto the salvation of their soul or the condemning of their soul of sin. Because we've got a problem with sin. Do you believe that? The way God believes it? Or do you reject it? No, I don't have a problem with sin. I know a lot of people worse than me. Isn't that our natural answer? Of righteousness, that righteousness is required, and that Jesus Christ is the standard, and He came and fulfilled everything necessary for sinners to be saved. Sinners need to know that. Because not only does the Scripture and the Lord in His Word always tell us about our problem, but right behind that He always tells us what the solution is. Amen. It's Christ. Right. And then the warning that there is judgment to come. And because of sin, you either need the righteousness, we need the righteousness of Christ, or you're going to face the judgment. And it's going to be to your destruction, our destruction, just talking about people, for those that are here without Christ. That's the testimony. And so, we want to take a look here, and I invite you to turn over here to Jude verse number 5, we'll pick it up here, as the apostle writes and speaks much here about, in a very short book, but reveals more to us about this judgment of sinners. If you're here without Christ, the condemnation of your sin rests squarely upon you. You can't lay it off on anybody else because it's the condemnation for your sin. And without Christ, these things are where you're heading. And you need to know that. Brother Jim, you trying to scare somebody? No, I'm just telling you the truth. Because the Lord said that the churches, the Comforter working in the churches, would declare this message. Well, I'm not going to be scared by you. Good. You don't need to be scared by me. You need to be scared by the Lord. Because He's the one you're going to give an account to. He's the one that's righteous. He's the one that's holy. He's the one that came and died, was buried and rose again. And He's the one that those without Christ, those that are rejecting His gospel, His salvation, His way, those that say yes to self and no to God are going to stand there face to face with the Redeemer. He's going to be the judge. And it'll be a shameful, bad day. Here in Jude, we pick it up in verse number 5. And Jude writes here, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Because there's the key. It's impossible to please God without faith. See, it's not about doing or what we purpose to strain and get under. It's not what we purpose to give, what we purpose to accomplish for Christ, what we purpose to quit sinning anymore. There's a salvation that's preached today that you just be good from here on out and everything will be great. No. The Scripture knows nothing about that. It's repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are guilty. We are guilty. You got to face up God about that. And Jude writes here, he says, I want you to remember, saints. Remember how it was with those of the children of Israel that came out of Egypt that didn't believe? They were destroyed. You know how it's going to be in the whole, all the inhabitants of the earth? Well, how it's going to be with them that did not believe? You know what's going to be, what's going to happen with them? They're going to be destroyed. Because that's what he's given past example and past occurrences and events to tell about what's going to be. And the angels. Not even the angels are exempt, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Angels that rejected the Word of God and did not believe that God's Word is right and is true. They went with Lucifer. They're going to be judged too. Nobody, no being gets off the hook. Sin, every bit of sin is going to be dealt with. Every transgression is going to be dealt with one way or another. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah coming back to earth, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Brimstone came out of heaven and destroyed those cities and everything in that plain where the Lord didn't restrain that fire and brimstone to go. Burned it up. If I understand it right, and those, some that have been there say that down there on the southern tip of the Dead Sea is where it's believed that Sodom and Gomorrah was. And a brother that had gone there and took a trip down that way, he says, it's just uncanny how it is with the sides of the bluffs and the hills in that region. The rock structure is just light and kind of brown colored and all that. And then you get to a point to where it's just black. It's just streaked with what appears to have been burning. See, brimstone, it'll melt everything it touches or burn up anything that'll burn. It'll melt the ground. That's what hell consists of. Fire, torment, brimstone, lava, if you will. Molten earth. You ever get any glue on your hand that's like a hot melt glue? You ladies, maybe some of you fellows work with some kind of craft or woodworking or upholstery or something like that and get hot melt glue. It takes about 300, 400 degrees Fahrenheit to melt hot melt glue. And you get that molten on your hands, you can't get it off of it, and it hurts in the meantime. That's what brimstone's going to do. It's going to stick. But those souls and those that go into the lake of fire with a body fitted for destruction will not be able to get away from it. Never. Never. It's the reason the rich man said, just a drop of water off of his finger. How could that ever... You get out this summer and mowing your grass and working in your garden and all that. Drop of water going to make a difference to you? But in hell, in the lake of fire, a drop of water would make the difference. That's how bad it's going to be. Sodom and Gomorrah, remember them. They did not believe the Lord. And they are set forth in an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The fire that the Lord sends forth never is quenched. You ever notice about that? I don't want fire baptism.
Amen.
I want the Spirit of God and life. Fire baptism is talking about eternal death. Jude goes on to say in verse number 9, likewise also these filthy dreamers. See, the issue is in the heart and in the soul, isn't it? It's in the heart and the mind. God has created man upright. He's sought out many inventions. From the inside, from that factory of sin, as the brother said. That's the problem. And it does nothing as James tells us, but churn out wickedness and wickedness and wickedness and wickedness, and God will not let it pass. He will not let it pass. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. It's manifested in their bodies, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet look at the contrast. Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." What's that talking about? Lay your case with the Lord. You don't have to tell anybody off. Lay your case with the Lord. Don't be like the working and wickedness and sin of the world. Was Satan right for trying to take the body of Moses? No, he wasn't right. Did Michael say, "Satan, get out of here. You know you don't belong here, and you don't know you've got Moses' bodies coming, and get out of here." He didn't say anything like that. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." You get in a controversy with somebody, I think a good thing to say, if something's got to be said, is, "The Lord judge between us. Make sure you're doing right. And the Lord judge between us. Leave it with the Lord. We need to watch our mouths." But these speak evil, verse 10, of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. And that's a day in which we lived. That's a day in which we live. You stand up against the sodomite, and it's going to be the direct path is going to be that you're mean and you're ugly and you're a hater and hate crimes and all that kind of stuff. The thing is, make sure you're just repeating what God says. No better thing than to quote the Scripture. And so then, by in our country, supposed to be having the ability to say what you think and what you believe, but then great vengeance is taken upon the one that stands for what's righteous out of the Word of God. It's right for them to persecute those that hold to the position of God, but it's not right for anyone to say boo about their wicked way. That's the day we live in. But the Lord's not going to let it pass. He says, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, because they've gone in the way of Cain, a willful way. Cain said, "I want my way. I want fruit to be accepted. I want vegetables to be accepted, God. That's the way I want it, because I've worked hard for them, and they're good looking, and they're nice, and there's none better. Take it." You don't deal that way with God. Amen. You don't deal that way with the Lord. We're the created. He's the Creator. We listen to Him. That's the design. We honor and praise and glorify Him, not ourselves. Judgment. Woe unto them, for they've gone after the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Self-gratification. Balaam couldn't curse the children of Israel. God wouldn't let him. But Moses gave testimony over there that he informed those kings, I believe the king of Midian, he informed him how, "Take your daughters and send your daughters down there to him, and you can be a snare to him that way." Cost Balaam his life. Because he just had to have what that king had. And perished in the gainsaying, the doubting disputation of Korah. Who, Korah? There in the day of Moses. "You're not the only Levite around here, Moses. Is it so that God would only speak through you? Back up a little bit. We're Levites too. We've got a say in this matter." Was Moses leader because he put himself there? No, he was called of God. What would have been Moses' preference? Not to be. He testifies as much in the desert, doesn't he? Makes all excuse for why he can't be. But you know what? God said for it to be, and that's the way it was to be. So examples here of occurrences during the course of time that Jude refers to that says nobody gets off the hook. And disobedience and sin is never let pass. Because what happened to Korah and his family and all those of the princes of Israel that were in that mess? They went into the earth, crying and wailing. Some brethren even believe that they just went off straight on into hell. The earth opened up as it never had before. The Lord opened it up, and there they went. Jude goes on to say, these are spots in your feasts of charity. Those love feasts that we have mentioned about and considering about love. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with wind of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. They're dead, they're dead, they're dead. They love their sin and nothing else. And God's going to deal with it. God's going to deal with them because of their sin. Nobody is exempt. Nobody's got a better plan to get away with their sin and get away from God in it. Nobody does. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. That's what the brother is saying. Raging waves, verse 13 of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Why? The Spirit of God's not within them. They're dead. They have no life. Sin equals death. And if we pursue sin, if a soul pursues sin, death is all you get. Sin is deceitful. It promises a good time. It promises life, but it always takes to death. Amen. Always. Right. Always. And the ultimate death of the Lord, of Christ, is not covering that. Verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, he tells some more about this judgment, prophesied of these that God is going to deal with, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. How many is that? Thousands and thousands, tens of thousands. The Lord's coming with his saints. We get a picture here, not only is the Lord going to execute judgment, but he's coming with his saints to do so. His saints are with him, with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all. Most everybody? I think your Bible says all too, doesn't it? Everybody. Everybody. You know what? This judgment and what Jude is saying here, it gives us an understanding and a clue that that judgment is going to begin when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. Judgment is going to start then. And it's going to go and take place for 1,000 years or so. The judgment of the Lord is going to, His kingdom is going to be established. And what's it say? The Scripture says He's going to rule and reign on this earth.
Amen.
And judgment and justice is going to be executed from there all the way to when? The great white throne judgment. Judgment's going to happen. And God's going to bring it to pass. And the Lord is, just as we saw in John chapter 5, and as Jude opens up by quoting Enoch here, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch got caught up on ungodly, didn't he? But everything ungodly is going to be judged and dealt with. And there is no escape. Absolutely no escape. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own desires, their own lust. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words. They're boastful and proud, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You know anybody like that? Respecter of persons. I like this person because of what I can get from them. I won't care for this person because they can't help me any. God hates that. He hates that way. That's just yet more of that wickedness and sin that God's going to deal with. Praise God. By His grace, mercy, and love, He saved us. And I didn't have to meet some standard, so I'd be qualified to be considered for salvation. Amen? Oh, the Lord is great, isn't He? He says, He says, verse 17, "But the beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their ungodly lusts." There's going to be those that are going to say, "Nah, there's no judgment coming. What are you talking about?" Peter talks about it, doesn't he? He says, "Everything they say, everything's been the same since Granddaddy was here. And I haven't seen a lick difference. And so because nothing's changed since I've been here, it must not be so." The Lord is not on the timetable of a man that lives 80, 90, or 100 years, is he? Not at all. He's on his timetable. And he has made promises that judgment will come. "There'll be mockers in the last time, should walk after their own ungodly lusts or desires. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Right? They're empty clouds. They're trees with no fruit, plucked up by the roots. Brother I've talked to here in recent times, he said, "How is it with people that maybe have been in the Lord's churches for decades and you engage to talk about the Scripture? You engage to talk about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of God, and they just kind of glaze over. Just kind of, nothing's there. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. Because, be warned, because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. It's real. It's not a fairy tale. Being a member of the church and being baptized or doing some good work or feeding the poor, that's not salvation. But having Jesus Christ as your Savior, having known and believed that He came for you, He suffered for you, He died for you, He was buried for you, He rose again for you and your sins, your soul. Amen. That He did so because you're the sinner that needs saving. That's the only hope. That's the only no-so hope that there is in Christ. Not what we think or of our own conceits conjure up. There's going to be mockers, and they're going to separate themselves because why? They're going to doubt the Word of God. "Sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye beloved," he comes back to the saints, "but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy, not getting what I deserve." I deserve to be at the judgment. Don't you? We deserve to be at the judgment that the Lord's told about. But He's been merciful and He's made me a promise that the sacrifice of His Son is enough.
Amen. That's right.
To wash my sins away.
Amen.
I won't be at the great white throne judgment. I won't be in hell because of my
Amen.
Sin. I won't be in hell because of my unbelief of God and God's way, God's salvation.
Amen.
Because He saved my soul. He saved your soul. If you're here and you have Christ as your Savior, it's all in Him. He's the Savior. He's the Judge.
Amen.
"But ye, beloved, building up yourselves," compare the comparison to these that are mentioned here in verse 19. They're sensual, having not the Spirit. They separate themselves. As the Scripture tells about the parable of the different types of ground. Remember what it said about the second ground? "With an eye and joy, receive it, but when there's persecution over the Word, they go away." They fall away. Can't handle it. Can't handle taking a stand over just black words, black letters and black and words on white pages. That I can't give it up for just that. Because the Word of God's not precious. Because the Word of God doesn't mean something. Because the Spirit of God is not living within. "But ye Ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. What is it that Peter says? Be adding to that faith. Amen. Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Growing, letting the Lord take the Word of God and just tear us up with it. I tell you, it's great. It's great for the Word of God just to take us and just take us and slice this old flesh up into ribbons. Because you know, what the Lord does, He'll take you and build, He'll build us back up. His Word rebukes us and then encourages us all at the same time. Isn't that a wonder? That's a working of God. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Praying to the Lord. Going to Him for the need. Going to Him with the thanksgiving. Going to Him with the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Because the praise isn't to be one to another. And the praise is not to be of anything to anything in this world. But the praise is to be to the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God, He's going to judge sin. And praise God, He's pulled me out of that, so I won't be there in that. Because Christ took care of that condemnation and that judgment upon me. Upon you, if you're here and saved. Keep yourselves in the love of God. There's the contrast. Judgment. Wickedness and perverseness and sin for the love of God and forgiveness and blessing. Which is better? There's nothing better than the love of God, is there? And keep ourselves in it. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking unto His coming. That the only reason that we would be at the great white throne judgment of God would be as witnesses. Not as the condemned, but as witnesses against the condemned. You ever think about that? The Lord says many times, ye are my witnesses. Everything done in secret is going to be yelled from the housetop. The queen of Sheba will stand in judgment against the cities that rejected the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear what the Scripture says? The men of Nineveh will stand in judgment against those in this day, the Lord says. Why? They're going to be called up as witnesses. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and a greater than Jonah is here. The judgment of the Lord. We see more opened up to us here about this judgment. In Isaiah chapter 63, we'll just turn over there and read quickly. Isaiah chapter 63. Consider what the Lord has done for you, child of God.
Amen.
And you that are here without Christ, consider what the Scripture says. We'll read this passage here and we'll close. Who is this? Isaiah 63, speaking about the judgment of God, the Spirit of God. The Comforter in the church is going to rebuke the world of judgment. Who is this that cometh from Edom? What's Edom signify? Sin. Wickedness. Separation from God. What? Edom, Esau, he's noted for not believing God. Right? That's the hallmark statement about Esau. He did not believe God. He didn't believe the promise. He was the eldest. The promise of God to Abraham should have gone to Esau. But he didn't believe God. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This is that glorious, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, a mighty one. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, he says of himself. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like to him that treadeth the wine fat? Why you got that splatter all over you? Why is that red splatter all over you? Coming back from Bozrah and coming back from Edom. Why is that? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. In our modern day preaching today, I dare say you won't find many a preacher, and I'm not saying this to pump myself up, but you won't find many a preacher that'll say and attribute that to where that goes. You know who that's talking about? That's Jesus Christ. He says he's furious over sin. He says he has been given the job to tread the winepress. He is going to get his garments stained and dealing with sin and dealing with wickedness. Sinner, is that what you want, to face the Lord that way? Because he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
Amen.
Come to me my way, through repentance and faith. Because there will be a time of your life that it'll be done, your life. And there will be a time that this whole world is going to be done, and there'll be no going back.
Right.
The Comforter in the Lord's church has once again preached to you about the judgment of God. I pray you hear it. May the Lord help.